All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall to me. I surrender all. All to thee, blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Let me begin by saying thank you. Thank you for your hospitality and for your graciousness and for your amazing welcome I've had in this community for the last 3 weeks. It's been a treasure to worship with you and to see your ministries and to share the time that you've given me with your rector. So thank you very much. So the lectionary gives us the setup of today's story last week, and it gives us the end of the story this week, but it leaves out most of the middle. And it leaves out all the part that might be considered a little racy. And interestingly enough, I was thinking today with the psalm, it's almost as if the people who picked the lectionary said, so how do we get Obed and Boaz in this story and Obed? And we don't know, care about Ruth, but let's get Obed and Boaz, the quiver full of children. So let me start with the rest of the story. You remember that last week, calamity had come to Bethlehem, so Elimelech and Naomi went to Moab, and they started their family there, and their sons grew up, and they had daughters. Their sons married, and then Elimelech died. And then, to top it off, Naomi's sons died. So this family is left with three widows. And as you know, in the story from the gospel today and from other places in the scripture, widows live precariously. They do not have automatic support in their lives. So Naomi decides that what she needs to do is go home, because she's an immigrant in Moab and nobody cares about her. So she decides to go home, and she says to her daughters-in-law who belong in Moab, you stay here, go back to your own homes, and they'll take care of you, and I'll go home and get myself taken care of. But as we heard last week, her daughters-in-law say, no, we're going to stay with you. And Naomi says, listen, I'm too old to have more children, and if I do have more sons, you can't wait to have them grow up so that you can marry them, which is the custom, to marry the brothers of the men that they were married to. So go home. Orpah takes her advice and goes back to her mother. But Ruth says in that passage that we know so well from so many weddings, interestingly enough, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. My God shall be your God. Naomi relents, and the two of them go back to Bethlehem together. So they arrive in Bethlehem, and everybody is glad to see Naomi, and who's that woman again? And they sit down and talk to Naomi, and Naomi says to her friends, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For my life has been bitter. Calamity has come upon me. Call me Mara. And the family is glad to welcome her home, but they need to figure out how they're going to live their life in the future. And Ruth gets up her gumption and goes to glean in the fields. Now, as you remember, in Jewish law, you cannot harvest the corners of your field so that the poor can glean and the poor are cared for. So Ruth goes into the fields, and she follows the workers and starts gleaning. And she's been there for several hours when the owner of the field comes and says, "Who's she?" And they said, "Oh, that's that Moabite woman that came back with Naomi. Her name is Ruth. And she's been here since early morning, and she has not stopped working since she got here." So the owner of the field, whose name is Boaz, is impressed not only by her work ethic, but by her loyalty to Naomi, which he has heard about. So he takes notice, and he realizes this is somebody who's related to Naomi, and he says, "Make sure she's safe in the fields." And he sends her to follow the workers and to be with them where they are, and somebody can watch out for her. Then he invites her to lunch, and she eats what she can and saves the rest for Naomi. And at the end of the day, she goes home with a cloak full of grain and ready to take care of Naomi. When she gets home, Naomi says, "Well, how'd your day go?" She says, "Wow, it was kind of cool. The guys took care of me. I was safe in the fields. This nice man gave me this blessing to kneel down and to take care, to, he said to me, 'You are a woman of honor. Let me take care of you. May God reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward before the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you are taking refuge.'" And Naomi says, "Oh, Boaz, he's a relative of my dead husband. So Ruth, why don't you tonight, as Boaz goes to the threshing floor back in that barn, you get yourself all dolled up. And you go into that barn and you stand outside until he has finished eating and drinking and he lies down to sleep, and you go over and uncover his feet and lie down." Well, uncovering his feet is a euphemism, my friends, for what you think it is. So she goes. She takes care of Naomi, and Naomi says, "This is how we will have our security. And you go and tell him who you are, and essentially you propose to him." Now, we don't know if Boaz is married or not. He could have more than one wife, so this plan could work. We don't know how old he is, what kind of a man he is, except that he has taken care of Ruth so far. So Ruth dolls herself up, takes her shower, gets herself pretty, and goes to the threshing floor. When he lies down, she uncovers his feet, climbs in next to him, and he wakes up and says, "Who is this?" Could be a prostitute, but instead it's Ruth. And she tells him that who it is beside her, and that she is there essentially to propose to him. And he says, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman." Except there's a fly in the ointment. The fly is that he says, actually, there's a closer relative that gets first dibs on you. So the next day, he meets with the other relative, and he says, Naomi has this plot of land to sell, and you have the first right of refusal. Would you like it? And he said, you bet. And he says, oh, by the way, it comes with Ruth. If you take the land, you get Ruth. And the man says, not so fast. I don't think I want to do that because that may mess up my children's inheritance. So Boaz marries Ruth, and both Ruth and Naomi are protected. And Naomi is no longer bitter, and her friends celebrate her good fortune. And although it is interesting to note that once Ruth bears her son Obed, Naomi takes over the child, and Ruth is out of the story. It's a great story. It's a story of bravery and cunning and creativity and redemption. But what does it have to say to us today? How can Ruth speak to our needs and our hopes and dreams? I'll center on three insights I found from this story about how to deal with calamity, whatever that calamity may be. Could be global warming, epidemics, inflation, job loss, death. Whatever that calamity, how can we deal with that in a way that Ruth and Naomi can teach us? First, Naomi grounded herself in community. When she had gone, she came, when her husband died and her sons died, she came home. She went from Moab to Bethlehem and surrounded herself by her friends and those who knew her and cared for her. She also trusted Ruth. Ruth became community for her, the two of them against the world. And she also remembered Boaz was community. And she depended on him for his integrity. Actually, community will sustain us in both calamity and joy. It's community and this being together and becoming the body of Christ that gives us a place to be bitter and a place to be joyful. And a mature community is the best place in the world to be joyful. This is how I have treasured this community of St. Michael's, to do morning prayer with you these days and to worship with you, and the vigil up at St. John's on Wednesday night. To be in community has sustained us and given us strength in the days ahead. Back at home, I love sewing in my little sewing room with the windows on three sides and nobody else in there and my music. But it's community that enlivens me. It's the parish that I belong to, the dinners we serve and to the hungry. It's all of these people that tell me who I am, that help me understand who I can be, that help us each understand where we belong in the world and in our vocation. It's about community. For none of us has life in themselves. We are God's possession. We are part of the body of Christ. Second, Ruth and Naomi had compassion for one another, in which they took care of each of them in different ways. Naomi sought to ensure Ruth's security and her future. Ruth stayed next to Naomi and walked with her in that journey. Perhaps the very best way to deal with calamity is to care. Mr. Rogers, when talking to children about bad things happen, says, look for the helpers. It's a story we hear over and over. In 2005, Katrina hit. In the diocese where I served, we decided to help out some way by raising money for someone in New Orleans or surroundings. And the group that was organizing all this assigned us a very white, pretty wealthy church. And to tell the truth, we were very disappointed. And we met with the rector. Well, he was the interim rector because the rector had left just after Katrina hit. The congregation was full of strife, and he couldn't deal with that on top of the hurricane. So Will, coming home as a Navy chaplain from Fallujah, took on this ministry. And together with those people of the congregation and the support that we from the Diocese of Olympia provided, they opened a washateria for the neighbors. They hosted the block parties where food was celebrated and shared. And the people of St. Paul's discovered that Christ was in their neighbor. They had forgotten that. Years later, when I went back to visit again, I was telling this story of how we had learned that we gave to them so that they could become who they were and give to others. She said to me, well, we may need another hurricane. We weren't there to muck out the mud out of homes, although we did some of that. We were there to help a congregation reclaim its soul because we cared. We were blessed by our compassion, even as we had blessed others. Yesterday, as I was walking out to the subway and the Saturday Kitchen was going on, one of the folks who had received a bag from the Saturday Kitchen was walking among the others who had been there, handing out bananas. Maybe he didn't like bananas, but he wanted to make sure the others got them. Compassion breeds compassion, and it lifts our souls and fills our lives. Finally, my sisters and brothers, be of good courage. Fear not. Ruth's story is one of great courage. Going into the fields in a community where she was the other took courage. Going to that threshing floor took massive courage. The widow in today's gospel, it took courage for her to drop in those last two coins. And if we hadn't read the story of Ruth today, we would have read the story of the widow of Zarephath, who uses her last cup of flour and her last tablespoon of oil to feed Elijah and discovers that it lasts throughout the whole famine. It takes courage for us to reach out, to give of ourselves, to offer our ideas, to share our resources. And I was thinking today, to give our blood, that always takes courage. There are so many of the saints who model this courage for us: Florence Nightingale, Jonathan Daniels, Dr. King, Alexei Navalny, Desmond Tutu. And this is what they have in common. They have a great love for others. For others for whom they are courageous enough to care. As Ruth did for Naomi, as Naomi did for Ruth. It takes courage, but the courage comes from love. As we approach Advent and look to Christ coming again, let us remember that the kingdom of God is near us when we rely on and reach out and build community. When we have compassion for one another, when we live in love without fear. You know all this. You didn't need me to tell you. But perhaps this reminder will come with a little grace to live into those promises more fully, as Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. Let me conclude this and my time with you here at St. Michael's with the words of St. Clare. Live without fear. Your Creator loves you, made you holy, and has always protected you. Follow the good road in peace, and may God's blessing remain with you always. Amen.